on this out, but I'm sure if you sell it for $10, you sell more. But we want to look. We've looked this morning in the two sessions that we've had. We've looked at the giant that David conquered. And in this session and the next session, we're going to look at the giant that conquered David. And I'm not calling Bathsheba a giant. I don't want to refer to that. But there was another giant that, because of Bathsheba, it's revealed. And that is the giant of lust that lived within David. His own giant that he wrestled with. And what's, I think, applicable about this giant is that this giant lives within each of us. We call it the flesh. And it's a giant that needs to be reckoned to be dead, having been crucified with Christ. As Romans 6, the teaching of Romans 6 would remind us. So we might be referring to that. But when we think about this giant, let's go to the next slide. When we think about this giant, we want to think about the personality of this giant. Consider where this giant came from. If you look back in 1 Samuel chapter 5, and I think it's interesting in 1 Samuel chapter 5, and I just want to make the connection here. In 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 12, we see this. That so David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of the people of Israel. And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he had come from Hebron. Also, more sons and daughters were born to David. And so, but if we look back in Deuteronomy chapter 17, I want us to see something there. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 14. It says this, that when you come to the land in which the Lord your God is giving you and possess it and dwell in it, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. And you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you. You shall, who is not your brother. And then verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause people to return to Egypt to multiply. Horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest he turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. And just that far. What I found striking is that the instructions that God has given in Deuteronomy 17, we're reminded that there was a time when David, we see that the silver and gold that he did take, he didn't take it unless he gave it to the Lord. And we reminded that the horses that in one battle, he would slay all the horses. And he would keep these things. But this one weakness that David had, this one weakness that was there, David failed to obey God's word. And time again, we have said that how important it is to be obedient to the word of God, to follow his word in its totality, not just in part, but to be obedient to the word. And James says this. James says, he who knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. And so there's a challenge there, isn't there, for us. So we think about this, and we compare this then to 2 Samuel chapter 8. And 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 4, we read this. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, 20,000 foot soldiers. Also, David hamstrung all the horses. There he is. He hamstrung all the chariot horses, except that he spared enough of them for 100 chariots. And then if you drop down, also in the same portion, we just move down to verse 7. In verse 7, he says, "And David took the shields of gold that belonged to the servants, and then just dropped down and brought them to Jerusalem, also from Beth and from Parath and the cities of Hazazar. King David took a large amount of bronze." And then what do we find? We find a little bit later that King David also dedicated these to the Lord, verse 11, along with the silver and gold that he had dedicated from all the nations. And so this is what David does with these things. But then we find, when we come to realize that David took all these concubines to himself, and there was a problem. There was not really a problem. You know, the word problem is not in the Bible. It's either seen as weakness or sin in the Bible. The word problem doesn't exist in the Bible. So we either have a weakness or we have a sin. And David had a weakness that led him to sin. And this is a real challenge for us, that we must know our weaknesses and we must recognize our weaknesses. And as we're going to see, we must flee. What a godly example Joseph is to us, that he would flee. Knowing his own weaknesses, he would flee. And he would say, "How could I do such wickedness before the Lord and before my master?" So we find, we consider where this giant came from. There was something that laid dormant in David's heart. And there's something in each one of us called the flesh that we must reckon to be dead, or it will conquer us. It will take control of us. And listen, don't ever think, don't ever believe, "I can control it." I know a young man that was addicted to pornography. And what he said was, "I can control this. You bring it into your bosom. It's fire," Scripture says. And I'm going to challenge us. I'm going to speak very clear, that you cannot, nowhere in Scripture does it say to fight the flesh. Doesn't say that. We're to resist the devil, but it never says fight the flesh. What does it say? Reckon the flesh dead. To recognize the fact that you died with Christ, if you want to have victory over the flesh, a dead man has no desires. And so we see that David let something grow. Something was laying there dormant, but it began to grow in his life. Another thing that we see is, how is this giant constructed? What led up to this point? And we see that with this. But I want to focus in on verse 1 of chapter 11. It says, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when the kings would go to battle." So it's there that David, as a king, he should have been leading his army into battle. But what do we find with David? It says that at a time when the king should lead their armies into battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened. And I think that little word, "but David remained," that's a contrast. It's like neon lights that tells you, here's a problem. Here's a difficulty. Here's that thing that lay dormant. Here's that thing that was building up. Here's that thing that now is going to raise its ugly head in David's life and in David's heart. Here's that thing that raises its head in your life and in your heart and in my life and in my heart. If we don't reckon it to be dead.